Hello, folks. This is your host, Tammy Tuckey, and you are now listening to the Tierra Talk Show. We bring you rare interviews with the makers of Disney magic. Whether they be singers, actors, Imagineers, animators, they have all made their mark on the Disney name. Be sure to check out the show notes, other episodes, contests, our social media pages from Facebook to Twitter, and more on our official website at www.thetierratalkshow.com. Did you know you could save up to $600 on a 5-night, 6-day Disney hotel room? This also includes a ticket and dining plan package for a family of four at select Disney resort hotels from January 5th through March 7th, 2015. Contact the Tierra Talk Show's official travel agent, James from Destinations in Florida, for more details. Go to destinationsinflorida.com/tiara or call James directly at 855-434-9397. But hurry, this offer must be booked by December 29th, 2014. All guest opinions are theirs and theirs alone and do not represent the opinions of the Tierra Talk Show or the host. The Tierra Talk Show is not associated with the Disney Company. Thank you for tuning into this week's episode. And from all of us here at the Tierra Talk Show, have a hoop-de-doo day.
If a wall should come between us, too high to climb, too hard to break through, I know that love will lead us.
I'm excited to welcome this week's Tierra Talk Show guests, screenwriter Jim Magon, Jason Marsden, voice of Max Goof, and Bill Farmer, voice of Goofy, to celebrate the 20th anniversary of a Goofy movie. Welcome, guys.
Gosh, I haven't been called Billy in forever.
First off, I got to say, what teenage girl did not want to be Roxanne and have Max as a boyfriend and Goofy as a second dad?
Is that a question for all of us?
Yeah.
I think the answer would be yes from all of you, right?
I think that's a yes and a no.
Noticed on the Twitter followers, there's a lot of Max and Roxanne cosplay going around, which is pretty cool.
Next time she needs to sing with Max, though, I feel.
Right.
Absolutely.
Jason, you're going to have to be the singer for Max this time. I know they gave another actor the chance to sing. I was kind of confused. I couldn't really find any information why they kind of switched it up and didn't let you do the singing voice for that. Why?
What? Well, let me get to the bottom of that right now. Right.
Yeah. Here. I don't even show that.
Aaron Lohr, who's a friend of mine, actually I haven't talked to him in many moons.
He has a great singing voice, by the way. Yeah, he has a fantastic singing voice.
Yeah, and I don't know, I couldn't imagine anyone else doing Max's singing voice but Aaron after this. But it was just one of those things, you know, and when you make a movie, there's a lot of people making decisions. And there was a style of singing that Max, that they wanted for Max, that I just couldn't do at the time. So I sang for them. I did my best. And they thought Aaron would knock it out of the park, and he sure as heck did.
Absolutely. And have you done singing? You sang for other films, right?
I've sang for a couple of cartoons and a TV show, and I sing a lot in the shower and in the car in traffic.
Oh, that's you. I've heard you. I've got all your hits.
And it's funny because I'm in Nashville, Tennessee now, and if anything will make you not, if you're unsure about singing, don't sing around here because everyone is like an amazing singer around here.
Now, a few years before the release of a Goofy movie, Max and Goofy had their own TV show called Goof Troop. And Jim, when you came on board for this project to make a spinoff feature film, which is also set a few years later with Max in high school, what was the discussion, first of all? Were they going to absolutely have Max be a little bit older?
I just think for, to try and get a broader audience that the sort of, I don't know what he is, 12 years old in the series,
yeah, 10 or 12.
Yeah, that, you know, there would be more appeal and he'd be able to do more things if he was older. So that's what we did in the film.
And how did you guys get the road trip type of story going for you?
That's really interesting. You know, I've been digging out all my old documents out of storage and looking through them. And it's funny because we've had everything from, cross-country trip to try and get to Hawaii to cross-country trip to get on a TV game show called America's Funniest Gladiators. But the road trip always seems like it's sort of there in all the permutations. And honestly, it was solidified when Jeffrey Katzenberg said that he and his daughter were they were kind of distant. I guess he's a workaholic and she was doing her own thing. And he decided, we're just going to take a road trip. And he said, I honestly can't say the moment when we connected, but it was just being sort of locked in the car together that brought that about. And that was the inspiration for the film.
I kind of think like it's the Disney equivalent of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Yeah, I don't know.
That's a very good analogy.
It has the same dynamic, and you grow to love both characters, and you understand them for both of their perspectives throughout the film, and I think that's fantastic. And I love seeing that, because I don't think you see a lot of the parent relationship. It's usually, you know, the parent relationship is always misunderstood, and then it's fixed towards the ending, but it's not the central theme of a Disney movie at all, never. So
yeah, there's certainly a lot of princesses and, you know, trying to hook a guy, but I think the reason that that a Goofy movie resonates with so many people is because we all go through the separation and emptiness thing at some point in our life, and it kind of plucks those heartstrings, you know, losing your kid. Every parent, according to a teenager, is Goofy.
And my son thinks so, yes.
I'm going to guess that this answer is yes, but have you found yourself in the same predicament, whether it be it from Max's standpoint or from Goofy's?
Yeah, I think there was a lot of parallel with Max and Goofy and me and my son during that time, because my son Austin was about 5 years old when the story came out, and since the Goofy movie was a father-son bonding thing, it really became a little bonding thing for my son and I. Of course, he didn't know if he was, you know, Jason's brother or Goofy's son or who his dad was. It kind of messed him up for a while, but he got over that. But it was a really great kind of bonding thing for us to go through the movie watching it together.
You know, I'm actually experiencing this stuff now. I mean, I was not a father when I was doing a Goofy movie. I was 19, I think. And now 20 years later, I am and now my son's going to be 5. So yeah, the parallel is now, there's a little bit more understanding on Goofy's side. You know,
you're the goof now.
Now I'm the goof. Exactly.
I guess that makes me the grand goof, I guess.
Oh my goodness. This is so cute.
Hey, we got another movie here, Jim. You know, we got to get a new generation going.
Yeah, exactly. Start sending those postcards to TV Animation.
Yes.
Goofy's Family Reunion. Can't you see it?
Oh, absolutely.
I think so. That could be a lot of fun stuff in that. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, maybe Max could have a son now.
That's what I'm talking about.
If you're sticking to the real timeline, yeah, you probably would have a couple.
That's true. Meets World or something. You've taken this over.
Goof Meets World, is that what you said?
But I love the songs in this film. I got to speak with Reese Holland, who was the singing voice of the principal in After Today. I had no idea. He was in a TV series called Adventures in Wonderland that came out around the same time that Goofy movie came out. And he just said it was a quick session where he came in with a group of people and they were just singing the chorus to the song, and that was really catchy. And I just thought... I that song is just a big hit with a lot of the 90s kids, including myself. Does it get stuck in your head when you hear it? It has to, right?
Oh yeah. At the Comic-Cons, and I sign at Comic-Cons from time to time, there are more Roxanne's and Max's and references to a Goofy movie than just about any other thing that I've done over the years. And its popularity is just really heartwarming. It was a big hit, much bigger than I thought so at the time.
And the songs were so. I remember my girlfriend at the time. I was so proud of this movie when it came out. I was like, "Did you see it? What did you think?" She's like, "Yeah, it's all right. The songs were great." And the songs were fantastic. I still listen to them, and like, you know, I put them on for my son, and he digs them, and not just like the character songs, but the Tevin Campbell, the Powerline songs. They're outstanding.
They really are, and they hold up well.
Yeah, totally.
Here's a little trivia. Powerline's earliest name was Deep Freeze.
Deep Freeze?
Sounds like a Batman reference.
Was this like the pseudo Batman storyline?
Yes, exactly.
That goof.
Like, you guys have obviously seen where those God bless them, those fans that turned the movie into a live action song.
Oh, yes.
Brilliant.
Amazing.
the first song in the movie with Max going home from school, shot for shot. I mean, and found locations and people that looked like the characters.
Yeah.
And it was an incredible
that was impressive.
Piece to do that.
And I think they said it took like 6 months to make that because it has a million views now. I was looking at the behind the scenes of that video and I was like, holy mackerel, if I had the time, I'd do it.
Right.
And the kid that did this came by when I was signing once and I got to meet him, and he is just the biggest fan and just a wonderful person. And, he's going to be, hiring us all before long with the that credit under his belt now.
What is one of your favorite songs in the movie then?
After Today.
After Today is.
I'm sorry. Lester's Possum Park. That'd be a whole 3 minute number.
That's a great song. Of the ones I did, Nobody Else But You. I really enjoyed that song. But, yeah, Lester's Possum Park was that's me. That's my kind of song.
And that little girl singing along, yeah.
A little yodeling.
I had that from early drafts. I had Lester's Possum Farm. In fact, the way it was originally written is that you know how when you go buy Wall Drugs in North Dakota, you see signs 400 miles away, 300 miles away, you know, only 200 miles to Wall's Drugs, you know, or that kind of thing. So we had Paco's Water Park, only 200 miles, Paco's Water Park, 100 miles. And Goofy saying the whole time, you're going to love this place. You're going to love this place. You know, and of course, Max is like, oh, boy, we're coming up on Paco's Water Park. And he turns, instead of turning right into the Paco's, they turn left into Lester's Possum Farm. But that's how it was originally staged. Well, I think that's what's behind this is that, you know, we've all had the horrific family vacation, you know, everything going wrong. So obviously, you know, I looked at a lot of National Lampoon Vacation movies and things trying to find horrific stuff to throw at Goofy and Max.
Now, Jim, what was the decision to remove Pete's wife and daughter because they are in Goof Troop and were memorable characters in the TV series?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I love those characters. But since this was a father and son movie, we wanted the parallel of the oppressive dad and the oppressed son versus, you know, Goofy and Max. In fact, early on, Pete was a trucker who was doing sort of Spielberg's Duel all the way across country with Goofy. So, you know, he wasn't that nice. But I think the RV as the perfect place, you know, that Max wants to be on this trip. And you realize poor Pete, I mean, PJ is just, you know, he's miserable. He has to do everything for his dad. And so that juxtaposition of the father and son where, you know, Max is thinking, I've got a horrible life. And then by the end of the trip, you know, he's on stage with Powerline. So, Jason, when you saw that song, The Open Road, did that actually influence you when they said, howdy, boys, is this the way to Nashville? Is that why you ended up there?
Yeah.
That was kismet, man. No, I met my wife, Christy, who's in the next room. Hi, baby.
Hello.
She gets to say, I'm married to Max Goof.
Boy, does she, everywhere she goes. When I met my wife 13 years ago, she's from here, and I fell in love with her. And then when we visited Nashville for the first time to visit her family, I fell in love with her family. And then I fell in love with Nashville, and I just felt like, you know, you ever been anywhere, you just feel like you belong. This is where I feel like I belong.
There you go.
Now we have to talk about Bobby. Where in the world did this character come from?
From the very beginning, I sort of had Pauly Shore in mind. And the odd thing is that I wrote two live action films for Casper, and Pauly Shore is in those as well. So he's been in all my movies, and I've never met him.
The recording sessions, they varied a lot. Sometimes Jason and I would do ensemble recordings. Sometimes it was solo. Sometimes they would kind of push the envelope on how the character sounded, and then we would redo scenes. We would there were a lot of cut scenes and subplots that went, you know, this movie I recorded on it for roughly over two years, it seemed like 2 years off and on, going back, and you'd come, oh, we're redoing this scene, and so you do another day or so of recording. And it turned out over the year I did like 30 30-some, 40 days of recording on it, it seemed like. Yeah. A lot of recording on that. And, of course, we never see it until, you know, it's all put together. And then I had no idea what this movie was going to be like until I saw a screening of it on the Disney lot. And I, this came together great. This is a good movie. And you don't get a sense of that when you're recording it. You get little pieces of it, and you have to fill in the blanks. And you never know what you're going to get until you see it in the theater.
Yeah, because I think the first scene that anyway, that I remember that I recorded with you, Bill, was the I never wanted to go on this stupid vacation where the car is jumping
the rocks.
Like, should we pause before the bounce? Should we do every line on the bounce?
We're trying to get the impacts in sync and everything. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So you do? Do you guys have a deleted scene that you thought really should have been in the movie, or you really really liked, and you know it didn't make it?
Yeah, there's a couple. I remember there was kind of a subplot with. And in the On the Open Road song, the really big woman and the little kind of nebbish guy who was in a car, they had some scenes involving them throughout the rest of the movie. And there was really some kind of funny ones, as I remember. They get somehow Goofy gets their car hooked up or them hooked up, and they get dragged through a bridge and up and down and all over some stuff.
Does the lady make an appearance at the Powerline concert, right? Isn't she getting dressed?
Yes, she's the singer, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I was like, she does look familiar.
I have never realized that.
I guess I never put the thing together that's the same lady either.
I know, everybody on the Open Road song made it to the Powerline concert. That's where they were all going.
See, Dad, we should have just followed them. Why don't you go on this trip? Everyone was going to the Powerline concert. Everybody.
I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. I just wanted to ask one more. Oh, actually, I have three more questions. I had called them the Mickey, Goofy, and Donald questions, the Fab 3 questions. So we'll start with the Donald one. As a child, what Disney film would you guys always like to watch over and over again?
One of my favorites when I was a kid. Wow, there was only two movies that they'd made by that time. Snow White, I guess. No, I was a little science nerd when I was a kid. So of Disney movies, it was a live action one. I loved The Absent-Minded Professor. For some reason, the live action in that one just got me. I even went to my little chemistry set. I had a little chemistry set in the back, and I tried to make flubber, and it never worked. But, you know, so then I turned my, the animated, I suppose Pinocchio. And, of course, Peter Pan was probably my all-time favorite as a kid. And I could watch that over and over. And, of course, in those days, it was like, you know, come out in 7 years. It's going back in the Disney vault. And we'll be out in, you know, 7 more years. We had to wait. So, but now you can watch it anytime you want. And it's still one of my favorites.
Well, Bill's right. When I was a kid, it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to watch this favorite movie over and over. You went to the theater, saw it once, and then it disappeared for 7 years. But I would agree, Peter Pan really sticks to my ribs. It kind of hit me at the right target audience age, you know. And of course, the Goofy movie.
Just throw back to Bill's answer if y'all know Bill, like I know Bill, he throws these epic Halloween parties and is really good at tinkering behind the scenes. So if anyone can actually make flubber, I believe Bill Farmer could do it. And to answer your question, yeah, I remember seeing, I was still, you know, had to go to theaters to see like Fox and the Hound, and, you know, nothing had really hit the VHS yet. So I'm trying to think the first VHS that I wore out. I know Peter. I liked Peter Pan and probably Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
That was the first Disney movie I was in, but just as background voices.
You weren't Goofy in that one?
I was not. It was an actor, Tony Pope, who preceded me. Before I moved to California, they had started the production of that, and they were ending it up after I had taken over the role. But they brought Tony in to finish up the lines as for that movie. And I think that was the last thing that he did. And but I snuck Goofy in there. No one knows this. I was on the, along with a lot of great actors, including Nancy Cartwright, in the ADR group, which adds little incidental voices. So we sang this, smile, darn you, smile, at the very end of the movie. And one run through, I did it as Goofy, just so I could get Goofy in there. And if you listen there, you might hear Goofy in that song at the end of Roger Rabbit, and that's me. I love those little things that you never know. Only I knew that. Now everyone does.
And now our Mickey question. If I asked you to name any Disney song at this moment, what immediately comes to mind?
Poor Unfortunate Souls is probably one of my favorites.
Go Fly a Kite from Mary Poppins.
You caught me off guard completely. I'm going to pick a really random one. Little Wooden Head from Pinocchio.
Oh,
little
yeah.
Wooden Head, go play your part. Bring a little joy to I don't know. I just...
And we'll end with our last question, the Goofy question. Woohoo! What Disney character do you think would be your best friend if you met them in person? And this cannot include anybody you have played, unfortunately.
Probably be Mickey, you know. Mickey's everybody's best friend.
You know what? I'm not like him, so I guess I'm looking for an opposite. But Baloo seems to take life as it comes, you know.
Yes.
I probably could learn a lot from that.
I would have to pick Donald. Donald's my favorite Disney character, always has been. And I guess this will be telling a little bit about my personality, but we're kind of alike. I identify with him a lot. Definitely Donald.
You know, it's kind of interesting, especially with the big three, Mickey, Donald, and Goofy, kind of have aspects that we all have. We all have the good guy in us. We all have the frustrated, you know, cantankerous, mad guy in us, and we also have the goof in us. And so I think everybody can see a little bit of each of these characters in themselves. Unfortunately, I have too much Goofy in me in my regular life.
Oh, yeah.
That creeps over into my real life as well.
Can I share real quickly something about Donald and the Goofy movie? We had a scene once where Donald was a travel agent, and Goofy's saying, well, what do you think I should do? You know, and he goes, you know, it's like, oh, what'd you say? Is there someone else I can talk to?
You have a manager.
The fans love a Goofy movie. If you guys could say anything to them right now, what would you like to say?
Well, I would say no matter how angry you get with them, hug your kids.
Yeah. I just want to thank all the fans that have kept this movie alive and popular all these years. I'm totally honored to be a part of it and work with such, you know, great writers and producers and directors and other actors with, you know, with Jason, of course, who, you know, it's hard to act with him because he's so good, you know.
Looking. Thank you, Billy.
It brings up your level of creativity. It keeps you on your toes. And it's just been a joy. That movie has definitely been a highlight of my career. And I'm just thankful to all the fans that made it so.
Hear, hear.
Dear fans, thank you so much for digging the movie so much and growing up and then showing it to your kids and sharing with your friends and emulating it and making it such an important part of your life. I, too, am a fan. And I remember every Christmas watching like Sound of Music and A Christmas Story. It's like these are things that you kind of had to – you couldn't go the whole year without watching these movies. And now a Goof movie is one of those movies. And it feels good to be part of something like that. You know, when you're an actor, you hope to get, you know, cool work and work with amazing people like Billy and Jim. And then you get, you know, some little lightning in a bottle like this. So it feels good. So thanks, everybody.
As a writer, I'm just going to say ditto. How's that? Because you said it beautifully, you guys.
Well, thank you guys for so much for coming on the show. I'm sure the fans are going to love this.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Tammy.
I really do appreciate it.
I wish that this was the day after today.
Cheddar! Ah! Cheddar!